Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, put your hands together. Glorify the Lord. Open up your Bibles to the book of Acts, the 27th chapter. The book of Acts, the 27th chapter. Praise his name. Glory to God. The 27th chapter and the 27th verse. 27 and 27. Amen. Everybody got it? Say amen.
Amen.
That wasn't very many. Glory to God. The book of Acts.
Hallelujah.
All right. I said amen, Brother Russell. That's why I like him. He's diversified, isn't he? Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, watch out for the rocks. Look at somebody else and tell them,
watch out
for the rocks. All right. Now y'all think somebody throwing something at you, Brother Tony Duckett on the organ. Amen. In the 27th chapter and the 27th verse, it begins by saying, but when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipment deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, somebody say upon the rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color as though they were to have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Don't desert the ship. Amen. Don't desert the ship, because you're going to fall in the rocks. Look out for the rocks. Going to try to take my time, but I'm going to get this done. Amen. Paul says, but when the 14th night, if you look at the word 14th, the word 14th has significant meaning. We like to deal with numbers because God always means something when he talks about numbers. If you look at the number 14th, it deals with number 10 plus 4. We know that the number 10 is ordinal perfection and the number 4 is creative works. God is letting us know that he's already moving. He wants you to know that he's already moving. You're out on the river. You're out on the lake. You're out in your sea of trouble. You're in your sea of trial and tribulation. But God wants you to know, I'm moving already. You may not see me because of the storms. You can't see me because of the darkness. But I'm moving for you. But you can't desert the ship, because you won't be saved. So God is telling you, whatever it is you're going through, don't run from it. Stand in it. You got to stand in it. And you got to give God praise. I know, I think about running all the time, Brother Tony. But then when I start making that first step, I realize I really don't have no place to run to. Then I hear myself like Paul, as you go around beating like, as you know, beating against the air, wasting your time. 14th night, night speaks of darkness. Remember, 10 and 4 means order, perfection, creative works, how God is moving, how the perfection or the maturity of God in you creates what you have need of in your darkest hour.
All right, man.
Yeah. Now, you have to understand something. We've been taught for years that the anointing comes from fasting and prayer, but it don't. The anointing comes from trial and tribulation and also error. That means you ain't going to make it all the time. That means you're going to stumble sometimes and make some mistakes. But that means that you always have to understand that creative works is there waiting on you.
Yeah.
Amen. He says, as was come, as we were driven up. The word driven means to bear through or to be tossed about. I've been tossed about a lot this year. My God, I've been tossed about. I've fell and fractured bones. You name it. Just incredible things. Being tossed about. Situations trying to tear you apart. But you got to hold fast to your profession of faith. It's what you profess. It don't matter what I preach. You got to be approved by yourself. You have to study to show yourself approved. Amen. Don't take what I say for face value or any other preacher. Find out for yourself who God is in your life. Because if you don't, when you get on that sea and you're in that darkness and there's no light around, who are you going to depend on? Amen. You better ask somebody, Mr. Postman. You better find out who you are in God and how powerful he is in you. Amen. We are actually in survival mode. We are in survival mode. It's going to be a lot of folks. A lot of folks didn't make it this year. I don't mean they're not still alive. I mean they no longer walking with God. They gave up because God is invisible and they couldn't put their hands on it like this. So they gave up. They couldn't see the gorgeousness or the beautifulness of what God was doing. So they gave up. But you stood and you fought the good fight of faith. Don't you think God has something special for you? He has something very special for you. But there's going to be storms in your life and it's going to be dark. There's going to be dark, but things are going to try to tear you apart, and they're going to be up and down. That means they're going to affect your flesh, and they're going to affect your spiritual man. Folks waiting on the end of days, we're already in it. We've been in it for a while now. Amen. Well, I'm waiting on the end time. Well, you better wake up and smell the coffee, baby, because you're already in it. Adrian, we're talking about place and time, midnight. Midnight, we know that midnight usually is the middle of the night, usually around 12, when most times the moon shines its brightest. There's always going to be a light that's going to shine for you, but you better make sure it's the right one. Amen. Well, Mickey, I call myself. I ain't telling on myself like that. Well, yeah. When I used to get real high, I decided one night I was gonna follow the moon, right? I'm gonna follow this light, and it's gonna take me where I need to go. And it was going great for about a mile and a half. Then I was all snaps. I was in the ditch. Oops, you better make sure you follow the right light. Or you going to find yourself in a ditch. A lot of folks dress themselves up as the... Oh, I shouldn't have said that. And the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. Somebody will always come up and tell you, you know, it's all over with. You're done. You don't have to go through it no more. And then you wake up the next morning and you're still in it. First thing you say is, false prophet. Y'all don't hear me. Could it be you woke up with the same way you went to bed? If you went to bed without praise, you're going to wake up without praise. If you go to bed without praise, the same mess that you went to bed with, you're going to wake up with the next morning. And you're not going to praise him then. If you didn't praise him the night before, you're definitely not going to praise him the following morning. Oh, y'all quiet in here. But that's good. Well, the shipmen deemed that, we're close now. We're almost there. And sounded. Now, I like these words because they have such meaning. The word sounded, when they sound on a boat, they're measuring the depth of the sea. They were measuring the depth of the sea. You better measure Now, spiritually, the word see is translated people. You better measure the depth of the folks that you're around. Because if they don't have much depth, you might be in a little bit of trouble. Especially if you've been listening to them. That hits somebody right between their eyes. Better watch out for the rocks. They not always falling from the sky. And they sounded and founded 20 phantoms. Well, what is the word 20? Just nothing, a score. But if you look at the word phantoms, phantoms has a very significant meaning. Phantoms is talking about the deepness or the relevance of what it is. I've come across a lot of deep folks this year. deep. They were so spiritual, they weren't no earthly good. Oh, that's scriptural, isn't it? My father used to get mad and say, "You're so stupid, boy, you could hit the side of a barn." And I'd be looking for the barn. All I ever saw was garages. But you knew not to say anything because he was going to knock the out of you. So you just went, "Yes, sir." Don't allow yourself to be tricked, seduced, or I like this word, hoodwinked out of your blessing. Yeah. Amen. And when they had gone a little bit further, they sounded it again. They checked the depth again and found that it now was 15 phantoms. 10 plus 5. It changes from what? God moves us from what? We move from creative works to grace. Yeah. Paul is trying to teach them something. God is trying to teach us something. That God's grace is more than sufficient. But you've got to be able to recognize it in order for it to work for you. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks. I ran into a lot of rocks this year, and they weren't boulders. They had two legs and two arms and a head, yes. Some of them had short nails. Some of them had long nails, but they were rocks. Nevertheless, you ever tried walking on the beach or walking on the side of railroad tracks, walking in all the rocks, and your feet just seem to just go each and every other way? That's why you don't want to fall on the rocks. The word fallen means to be driven off course. Things want to take you off your course. They want to change your sense of direction. If you know where you're going in God, there are things that are coming forth in your life trying to change your course. Amen. Trying to change your sense of direction so you don't finish where you intend to finish. That's why you have to be careful of the rocks, because the rocks will slow you down. Yep. So it says, they fell upon the rocks. Somebody say rocks. Rocks means location or also conditions. You better watch out for your location and the conditions that are in your locations. We laugh about it all the time, how when we were kids, how I don't know if it does it anymore, things, the seasons have changed so much, how you can be standing on one side of the street and it'd be absolutely dry and sunny. And it'd be raining cats and dogs on the other side of the street. And I know none of y'all never said this. And we used to say, "Well, guess the devil beating up on his wife." I know y'all, some of y'all are so supernatural. Y'all never thought like that. Oh. Well. Nevertheless, you better watch the condition that you find yourself in. Yeah. Conditions don't always mean you. It also means your atmosphere, yeah, or your area or your surroundings. Amen. God ever tell you don't go that way and you go that way and you say, man, I should have listened. You better recognize that still small voice in your life and know that it's God and it's not just somebody talking to you. Well, I heard something. Somebody talking to you. You better know who it is. Paul is at peace in this storm. He's resting in this storm. Because he recognized that this storm is not even unto his death if he doesn't see it that way. You can't see your circumstances and your trials and the things you go through, your distresses and your discouragements and your hurts and your heartbreaks. You can't see these things as your demise. You have to use them as stepping stones to get higher and closer to God. Paul is trying to teach them. He's trying to let them know. You got. So they throw out. Here we go with the numbers again. Four anchors. God is not just working in the air. He's working in the water. They throw out four anchors. We know that Jesus is our anchor. And we know that he does what? Creative works. Where? In our lives. You have to make sure you're following the right light, for it's Christ in you who is your hope of glory, who is your light and will guide you and direct your path and keep your course straight. But if you can't see him in you because of your condition of your area or your surroundings, then you can't be directed by him. You'll find yourself leading yourself. And you know what we say about leading yourself? The blind leading the blind. And they all fall in a what? What's in the ditch? Rocks. Oh, my God. Out of the stern. The word out means at. It means out from the interior, out from. That means that what you, the light of God has got to shine out from in your life. In the midst of the storm, it's still got to shine. That means if you're going through something, you still got to show forth the character and the nature of God. You still have to show forth the glory of God. Now, I'm not telling you it's going to be easy. It's going to be rough sailing. It's going to be hard because you're going to want to do to people what they do to you. You're going to want to think about them what they think about you. You're going to want to talk to them the way they want to talk to you. But somebody has got to make an example and set an example. Hallelujah. I used to think this Christian walk was all about laying hands on folks and being rich. Oh, y'all didn't, huh? But I found out that it's all about trial and tribulation and strength. And I'm finding out lately that it is your joy that's your strength. Your joy in Jesus will strengthen you to make it through the next day. I deal one day at a time. And I try to live it by faith. Because if you don't, you will destroy yourself. And we are our biggest enemy. I'm about to close. Out of the stern or the front of the boat. And wish and pray for the day. Ah, some Lord, Lord, I need to see the light. I've been in this darkness too long. How would you like living in Alaska? How, what is that? They got what? 6 months of darkness and 6 months of light. I would have to get out and work so I can, 6 months of darkness, I could be someplace where there's some light. But I'm finding out that in the midst of all the darkness, that you can still see the light. Because you are that light. If you can't see the candle burning in your life or the lampstand lighting in your life, then you can't be a blessing to anyone else. We don't understand. We've been bought with a price. Your life is no longer our own. And we try to hold on to this rascal with all we got. We are. But you'll find out that when you get to your darkest hour, the folks that's been around you the most gonna try to head out on you. They done stood in the storm with you till you almost made it. And then they try to jump ship at the last minute. Because all they can see are the rocks. And if you're not careful, you'll follow them right into the rocks. This when it comes into play, when you have to know who you are and who your God is in you. So that you will follow him and not your feelings or your emotions or your senses or your own ideas, but you'll stand on the word of God. As the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they have cast anchors out of the foreship, they were ready to head out. They were going to leave, Chet. Well, we'd like to think we can depend on everybody. You better depend on Jesus. You better depend on Jesus. Amen. Now, you have to love everybody, but you don't have to depend on them. Well, glory. That's bouncing around, too. But Paul said, I'm closing with this. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except you abide, except you stand in this ship, in this storm, in this darkness, where it looks like we're not going to make it. Now you have to understand the condition of this ship is horrible. It's about to fall apart. As you keep reading on, you'll find out that some of them floated across the land on pieces of wood. And so the ship is being totally demolished. But Paul has the nerve to tell them, if you get off the ship before your time, you will not be saved. They said, you cannot be saved. Cannot be saved. My Lord. Except you stand or dwell in or abide in. He said, if you abide in me, I'll abide in you. Yeah. Except you abide in him. Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. See, that's scary right there, where it says, except these abide in the ship, ye. Now we hit the responsibility clause. That means that you're responsible for more than just yourself. He told the centurion, if they don't abide, you ain't going to live either. Man, I've been whipping them boys in the shade. You're not getting off this boat. I done made it through all this storm, and now you trying to run. Oh, baby, you got to get back on the boat. We rode together. We rode the storm together. We're going to go down together. Paul said, except you abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. The word saved is translated delivered or protected. It was 276 men on that ship. We know the two represents the Father and the Son. The seven represents perfection, the maturity of God. And the six represents the number of man. Letting you know that you're always going to have to fight with yourself to hear from God. You're always going to have to fight with yourself. But you can win this battle. Because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. So you can stand on this thing. You can abide in the ship and miss the storm and still offer up praises unto God. Amen. I'm like them, brother. I'll be praying for the light. I'm praying for the day. Lord, let the day come. Because night is substance, trial, and night represents tribulation, and night represents circumstance, and hurt, and pain, and agony, and distress, and discouragement, and heartbreak. It represents a lot of things. Lord, let me see the day. Let me see the coming of day. Then I found out, Sister Gwen, I had to create my own day. You have to see the light in you in order to create a light. Amen. A lot of times you are going to be the only light that somebody sees. That one that's hating on you, know that you're trying to be saved. They know you love God. So don't take it personal. It's not against you. It's against the God that's in you. Because they're trying to change your course. You have got to stay the course. They're trying to change your direction. Because if they change your direction, then your senses change, your emotions change, your feelings change. They change everything about you. So you've got to stay the course. That the ones that's talking about you and aggravating you. And then you got to go around them and love them anyway. Or at least pretend like you do. Hey, we might as well keep it real. We're trying to get there. We're a work in progress. I don't sit up here and lie to you and tell you I love everybody. I'm working on it. I am definitely working on it. I'm praying all the time, Lord, let me see the day so that I can walk in your anointing and walk in your likeness and walk in your character. Teach me how to love, Father. Give me the grace and the mercy and the compassion to understand and to be graceful around those that I know are persecuting me and afflicting me and coming against me and trying to change my course and trying to change my sense of direction. Give me the peace and the knowledge, understanding to still minister to them with love and minister to them in peace and minister to them with joy. Give me the power and the anointing, Lord God, to destroy the yoke that's in their lives by loving on their hate, by encouraging on their jealousy, by strengthening their sadness, by uplifting their discouragement. Give me the power, Lord God. I pray, let me see the coming of day. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, he that endureth until the end, the same shall be saved. The most powerful word in that whole scripture is the word endureth. Because it means no matter how bad it gets, you got to find a way to keep it moving. And to stay focused on the prize. Amen. And the prize is to have the character and the nature of God. And everything that's possibly can is going to come against you to afflict you and to separate you from what God has promised you. Amen. Glory to God. I'm not going to make God no promises for the new year. I'm just going to try to stand on his word. If I can stand on his word, then not only will I have not worry about me keeping his promise, but he'll keep all his promises to me. Amen. And I done got some doozies, and I'm looking forward to receiving all of them. But I understand now that they're not going to come to me. I have to move towards them. And that's where enduring. Amen. And not getting lost in the rocks. You know the story of the parable that Jesus told? Some fell on stony ground. You don't want to fall on stony ground. You find yourself in crevices that you can't get out of. Amen. We had a man of God here, Reverend Ted Sims, preached a message, Deliverance in the Cave, or something like that. How you can still see God in the cave. Amen. A lot of us have actually become cave dwellers because we're trying to separate ourselves from all the stress and the pressure and the all the junk that folks are trying to bring into your life. Most times when folks bring stuff, junk into your life, it's because they're not happy with theirs. And they feel like if you can share on their misery, because misery loves company. If you see me running from you, you better ask yourself why. I don't need no miserable company. Well, I won't be running, but I'll be walking a fast walk. Because if I try to run, you're going to easily catch up with me because I'm going to fall. As for the end, he'll tell you. Let me tell you what the love of God is. I'm finna get you, Brother Andy. You thought I forgot. We used to work together. We used to work on all the projects. Just about everything you see in this church, Brother Andy orchestrated it. And me and Jerry, we all got together and we worked it. And we did it. And we were working on that platform over there. Everything happened on that. Yeah. Everything happened on that platform. And I don't remember what we were doing, but I had took my shoes off. And I laid them around the altar. No, we were building the altar that's over there now. All the way across, we were building that altar. And I had laid my shoes down. I went and sat down someplace. So I come back to get my shoes, and they weren't on the floor. So they were on the platform. I'm like, how did my shoes get up there? So I just ran over and grabbed it and went to walk. And my shoe didn't move. So I'm going, what? Said it glued my shoe to the floor. Closer observation, I realized they nailed them. With 16 penny nail. Let me know what a 16 penny nail. That's the big nail. Nailed my shoes to the platform. I sat down and I laughed till I cried. You say, that wasn't funny? No, it was a good pair of shoes. But you know what's funny? It was funny because God does the strange things to confound the wise. We were so tired. We were tired. And God knows that when you get tired, attitudes change, dispositions change. And now, I ain't telling you God told me to nail my shoes to that platform. But we sure got a bunch of laughs out of it, and we continued on our merry way, and we got the job done. Sometimes God might have to take your shoes and nail them to something. Everyone stand.